This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
And many thanks to Luke Hancock, who joined us last hour, Mr. Durham, talking about last night's games on the hardwood.
Yeah, we're going to recap games here in just a moment. We'll start with Duke and Georgia Tech and Durham. But postscript last night, in the postgame press conference, Josh Pastner in Durham last night with the media there assembled from the triangle of North Carolina pack. And you know how that goes. You got some of the most prominent media observers covering the ball game last night, even with the 9 o'clock start. And Pastner apparently covered a wide variety of topics, including that he originally planned to bring Bobby Crimmins to the game last night and sit him on the bench, which, as you know, would have been pure comedy during the course of the game. Right. But then Josh also said, when talking about his face shield, that he thought it could be a good NIL opportunity for Georgia Tech. Pastner, of course, returned the face shield to use on Sunday against Louisville, had it on again last night at Cameron. Well, one of the things that happened last night out of that was you and I were tagged this morning by Austin Carter from the Charlotte area, who said, Pastner apparently in his postgame said that he has the face shield from the ACC championship somewhere in his house in Atlanta. Austin asked the question last night in response of a tweet of Josh Graham from WSJS Radio in the Triad, which carries Packer and Durham, by the way. We welcome all those listening. Austin Carter said, so which one did he sign for Mark Packer and Wes Durham? And it's the one over your right shoulder. Now, I have speculated that that's the one that got smashed at Clemson because it's pretty beat up, right? The one we've got's kind of beat up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I want to go back. I don't know. I have no idea if that's the Clemson.
Either.
But I want to go back, though, to something regarding name, image, and likeness in the shield. If I'm not mistaken, I believe we brought that up on the show, that that was an opportunity that there should be a sponsorship all over that shield. We brought that up a year ago. So I hope nobody's coming out with like, oh, it's a really good idea. Well, if you listened to the show a year ago, we gave you that idea. It's kind of like the Johnny Majors classic between Pitt and Tennessee in football. That all started from this show. And I love how people are, oh, that's a great idea. Well, if you, again, pay attention to the program. Believe it or not, we actually come up with stuff on here. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the
productive things.
Right. But I don't know if the one over my shoulder is the one from the Clemson game, in which, ironically, Clemson won that game, and then Georgia Tech from that point forward went bonkers. But it is signed, and it is kind of banged up and beat up a little bit. But that, if it is, it is. I can't confirm it. Only Josh would know.
Maybe. Well, and, you know, look, maybe next week, or maybe this week, I don't know. It's for the Lumberjacks to decide. We bring Pastner on and ask him which one it is.
Yeah, I don't know. He's the only one that would know the answer to that question. I can't help you.
I can tell you this. He had a shield on last night in Durham, but it didn't help. Jackets lost 69-57 to the Blue Devils last night. Duke coming off a pause, a little rusty in the first 10 minutes of the ball game last night. But they go to 19-1 at home against Georgia Tech over the last... This is 40 years, and that's not right, because Georgia Tech won in 1996, and they won again in 2003 at Cameron. But nonetheless, 12th consecutive win against Georgia Tech at home, that is true, for the Blue Devils last night. And Paolo Banchero and Mark Williams both posted double-doubles, and the Blue Devils looked the part after they knocked the rust off in the first 10 minutes of the ballgame last night.
Yeah, that wasn't vintage Duke, but hey, at the end of the day, it's a W, and it was just good to see him playing again, right? I mean, I'm sure Coach K and his staff and the guys are probably saying the same thing. It was just good to be out on the court in front of live people doing their thing. They were the better team. They took care of business. They win the game. Were they perfect? No, don't have to be. You get the win, you move on, you get ready for the next one.
Right.
As I pointed out when we let off the show at 7 a.m., We unveiled the latest updated numbers for the infamous ACC index card. And last night you had one of those kind of games because the differential from the free throw line was 40 to 12. I mentioned we've now had seven ACC conference games where the differential from the line was 10 or more. That's the first time this year we've had a game where the number's been in the 20s. We've had a 19, we've had a 16. They both involved Wake Forest. The Deacs were on the wrong end of that. Again, style of play, there's a lot of things that are variables in that. It's got nothing to do with trying to give you a reason for the victory. Duke was better than Georgia Tech. They won the game. And again, Duke is the team to beat in this league. They're the only team this week in the ACC on the men's side to get a vote in the AP poll. First time that's happened in 40 years. So, like I said, teams 2 through 15, you got a lot of work to do. And that was proven again last night across the conference.
Duke will host Miami on Saturday, 8 o'clock here on ACC Network. Prior to that, Georgia Tech welcomes Notre Dame to Midtown Atlanta, starting about 6 o'clock here on ACC Network. All right, before we go any further, in our continuing effort to determine the masks, we've got a little video here. So we've got the video. There's the mask behind your shoulder on the right side. There's the Clemson mask. What do you think?
My gut is that the one here in the basement is not the Clemson mask. But, I again, I don't know. And only Coach can explain that one. And the one we've got looks like it's been beaten up by the United States Postal Service a little bit. But what else is new on that front? And okay. But it's signed. But I don't think it is. But I don't know. I'm guessing.
People want to know, man.
Wish I had an answer.
Tell you what, Steve West is going to be in high demand. I can tell you that after yesterday.
You know, I got that sitting right here, and I still haven't figured out where I'm going to put it here in the basement, but the response to this...
A lot of people saw that yesterday now.
Yeah, here it is.
A lot of people saw the...
In case you missed it.
Packer it Durham Highway to Charlotte. Yeah.
Tom Luganville right here.
Yeah.
West Durham over here. Oh, here's West right here. Here's West. Yeah. In the back, Eric McLean. Where's I got my numbers right here. Eric McLean, Mark Richt right here. And playing the role of Angus Young, that's me right there with the horns. But this was fantastic. Highway to Charlotte.
Holding a right-handed golf club, by the way. I noticed that, too.
Mm-hmm. That was great. And people went nuts on Twitter yesterday with this thing. It's crazy.
Yes, they did.
But we'll have it displayed prominently in here.
One little awkward moment last night, and look, we'll just show you this because people are talking about it. Not really a lot to get into because we don't know what was said. It looks like a competitive moment may have gotten the best of Michael DeVoe, the senior from Orlando, last night. Duke's got the ball in the second half, and he said something to the Duke bench as a timeout was called. And the Hall of Fame head coach in his 42nd and final tour of duty with the Blue Devils, not happy about it. And for old heads like Packer and I, when something like this happens, you immediately flash back to, 93? He carried a Turbay and Dean Smith in Greensboro.
Yeah, but Rick Barnes and Dean Smith getting face-to-face in the ACC tournament. And just watching Kay there, it looks like there's like invisible fencing at midcourt. Like, you know, he was going to go, he got to midcourt and just kind of like stopped like Chester and Fuller trying to chase a squirrel or a chipmunk or a rabbit. It was almost like, no, you can't go any further than that, coach. Stay right there. Right. But they apparently hashed it out afterwards and down the road you go. But it was the very first thing that popped in my head last night was that ACC tournament with Rick Barnes and Dean Smith. That was a classic.
Yeah. Everything seemed to be smoothed out. There we go. Post game, everybody fine. I think Michael said he just lost his composure. Everybody seems okay with it. And good for those guys. And Coach K and the Blue Devils move on to meet Miami. And he and Josh Pastner were the word. So there we go.
It's all good. Down the road
go. Let's move on to Blacksburg because Kevin Keats and the Wolfpack got a critical road win last night. Darion Sebron. Again, 17 of his 21 in the second half, ninth double-double of the year. Sebron's really been one of the stars in this league through the first half of the season, if you will, the regular season for sure. Got some help last night from some others. Ernest Ross came off the bench, gave him some nice minutes. Dewana inside, Terquavion Smith. NC State wins 68-63 last night, Pack, and may have grown up a little bit along the way last night on the road in Blacksburg.
Both teams had to have it, right? I mean, both of them are sitting there with a zero in the win column in conference play. Crazy streaks, as I pointed out. Virginia Tech had a 17-0 run. NC State had a 13-0 run. The Hokies came back with a 9-0 run. But down the stretch, NC State was better. They were terrific on the boards. And you mentioned Ernest Ross. I know we didn't have the highlight. And one of the things you kicked around about a month or so ago were dunks. Oh. Ernest Ross had a dunk last night for NC State that I had like one eye. I was working on this show. I was working on the radio show, and the game was on. And I just happened to be looking up when Ernest Ross took off from about, oh, I don't know, Radford and dunked. He had a dunk last night that was awesome. Now, there were a couple dunks last night. You saw one with Griffin from Duke. He had a great dunk last night. Alondis Williams at Wake Forest had a great dunk last night against Florida State.
Another one.
But Ernest Ross had a dunk last night from NC State that was spectacular. And maybe we can get that before the end of the week. But if you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. But it was it was a good one now. It was one of those where you went, whoa, 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 whoa. But that was a great win for NC State. And for the Virginia Tech Hokies, Wes, like I said, just like football, they got to start winning games at home. I mean, I really like their team, but they're 0-3. And Coach Young and the boys, I mean, it's time. I mean, it's time they turn that thing around ASAP.
No, I'm with you on that. Wake Forest, a big winner last night in Winston-Salem. Forbes and the Deeks. Florida State coming off a pause, and my goodness. Jake LaRavia, big night. He had 22. Alondis Williams had 20. Deacons made this look easy. Big 17-0 run in the first half. And Hamilton's team, and I'll cite the conditioning here a little bit. I'll give Florida State a little bit of levity on this because you're coming off pause, and conditioning is a factor whenever the coronavirus runs through your team in any way, shape, or form. And Wake Forest took advantage of it last night. They put the run on them early, and the Deacons coasted, Pack, coasted to a 22-point win.
Yeah, I thought it was important after coming off a tough week where you lost at Louisville, you lost at Miami, two good teams. Obviously, they're both undefeated in the league. You wanted to see how Wake was going to bounce back. Here's Florida State, had to feel good with the big win at NC State on the road. Still on the road. Can you steal another one if you're Florida State? They thought they could. But I was impressed with the fact that Wake's bounce back after two tough losses was really, really good. And they jumped them, like you said earlier. That 17-0 run in the first half put the game away. And Florida State, when you're 4 of 25 from 3, it's hard to play catch-up when you can't throw it in the ocean. Ooh. So, great win for the Deacs. And, again, Coach Forbes and the boys, kind of a pleasant surprise. But I think by now, you know what? You kind of figured that they're going to be hanging around for a while. This is a good club. Yeah. They can play.
Off at Little John last night, Clemson and Virginia meeting for the second time in about 13 days. And the Tigers and Cavaliers had a pretty good one going. Then they get to the under 7 mark, and Virginia pulls away and ends up posting a 75-65 win last night. Jaden Gardner, the East Carolina transfer, 23 points on 7 of 11 shooting from the floor last night. Virginia now moves on to meet Carolina, who they have beaten 7 straight times. Pack, who would have figured that one, huh?
Well, hey, Tony Bennett's been pretty good now. It's not like Virginia's coming in there as a roast beef A&M. They've had a national championship stuck in there. They've been really dominant in league play. They've had North Carolina's number, and really they've had kind of Clemson's number until back in, what, December 22nd, whenever that is that they played and Clemson won the game. It was kind of a reversal, right? I mean, Virginia couldn't throw it in the ocean when they played them in Charlottesville, went 11 minutes without a basket. Clemson last night down the stretch goes 6 minutes without making a field goal. Virginia scores 19 in the last 27, pulls away and wins. And you gave a defensive efficiency stat earlier about how well Clemson's been playing defensively on that end in terms of field goal percentage. Virginia shot 54%. You know what? They shot the ball well at Syracuse and scored it. They did the same thing last night at Clemson. Maybe Virginia, after a really slow, sluggish start, is starting to find their legs a little bit and their shooting stroke. But again, they get North Carolina this weekend. The Heels, on the road tonight at Notre Dame. We keep talking about teams trying to put together back-to-back-to-back wins. Who's going to be able to do it? Keep an eye on the Virginia Cavaliers. All of a sudden, they're starting to make shots. Makes a world of difference.
Yeah, you mentioned Carolina and Notre Dame. It's one of three tonight on the platform of the family of networks here. You got Pitt at Louisville, Syracuse at Miami as well. North Carolina is trying to win three straight ACC road games, Mark, for the first time, I think, in about 5 years, maybe 6 years. It'd be quite a statement by Hubert Davis in his first year to go win three right out of the gate on the road in the ACC.
Totally agree. And we have to do accounting tomorrow. And I'll be honest with you, Wes, you can't do accounting until you see what happens with these three games tonight, because teams are just this thing is so goofy trying to figure out. Duke's going to be one. Miami, for me, may stay two if they win tonight. But, man, this thing is all over the map. In one game, really, you can see a team drop or move up five or six different spots. That's how goofy and fluid this is. But if North Carolina can start the year with three straight road wins in the league, I'm telling you, that's like stealing. It really is, because that's what everybody in this conference is going to have to do. Try to hold serve at home and steal on the road. And if the Heels can go 3-for-3, that's a great start for Hubert Davis.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We talked a little bit about this earlier today, and it really is fascinating to look at the and this is some of the analytics. I give you credit on that. But who are the ACC's most crucial players through the early part of this season? Well, here's a list that our group put together. And now, remember, we're talking about guys that need to stay on the floor for their teams to be successful. And Malik Williams, who joined us yesterday from the University of Louisville, look at the differential there, Pack. That is stark.
Yep.
And how much he means to the Cards.
That's why he's number one. And believe it or not, if this was a bar bet, I would have gotten this one correct. And, you know, when we had Luke Hancock on, he mentioned that Western Kentucky game. Malik Williams did not play in that game, and Louisville looked like they were lost. It looked like me trying to do accounting. Had no idea. But he is a big-time talent, great experience. Can do everything on both ends of the floor. So that does not surprise me at all that those numbers are so different. He's a big-time player.
John Hughley of Pittsburgh is off to a terrific start. The more they get into conference play, and that includes tonight at Louisville, I'm interested to watch Hughley and kind of see how all that works. Armando Bacot would have been my guess, Pack, for the overall leader, but he's third on this list. And then probably a guy you haven't followed very much in the ACC so far because he's brand new, and that's TJ Bickerstaff of Boston College. He's worth your time. Good player for Earl Grant. You see his value. Anthony Polite as well for Florida State. Reese Beekman of Virginia. Jared West, who, and I said this in hour one, fast becoming one of the better on-ball defenders in the ACC, is in the top seven as well.
Yeah, and I mentioned that we need to memorize that list of seven because I would love to see what it looks like at the end of the month. Again, small sample size, but those seven certainly legit because the numbers don't lie. I'll be curious, Wes, 3 weeks from now, when we look back at that differential, how many guys in that top seven are no longer there? You know, who emerges? Maybe the top seven stay that way. I don't know. These are all really good players. So that'll be worth keeping an eye on as we try to find not only the individuals making an impact, but also which teams can kind of get on a run here in the month of January, because it's going to be – I keep emphasizing this because to me it's the game within the game. It is critical for this conference, as far as March Madness is concerned, to see some teams get on a run. I can't beat that to death enough because the non-conference resume was not impressive enough.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and it's probably going to end up being down the road the more value you can create in these teams in conference play, it's probably going to be the way we buoy the ACC to, you know, at least a couple teams in the NCAA tournament?
Well, here's the other thing. You know, when you start looking at early bracketology, not that I'm a crazy bracketologist, but it does kind of give you a snapshot of where we are. You know, teams like Virginia Tech, you know, losing at home again is a problem, right? That's, That's a flag. You know, North Carolina, hey, you go win another one on the road tonight at Notre Dame, huge feather in your cap, because mm-hmm. you assume they can come back home and hold serve, which will include Virginia this weekend. A team like Virginia that's gotten off to a slow start. You know, you win at Clemson, you win at Syracuse, couple road wins. All of a sudden, you start to get that confidence. Hey, guess what? Virginia's back to being the Hoos again. So, you know, Notre Dame tonight, I think, is another one of those kind of teams. They've got one of the few quality non-conference wins in the league when they beat Kentucky. Can they keep, right. you know, piling on wins and beat North Carolina at home in kind of a hold-serve moment? So there's great storylines all over the place. Syracuse, hey, we're ready for Syracuse. They're going to be on the fence again at Miami tonight. You got another golden opportunity like you did when you won at Florida State. You know, upstarts like Wake Forest and Miami. Hey, are they legit? What's the story with these guys? So there's unbelievable storylines within the league, even though we've only got one team right now ranked in the top 25, and that's Duke at number two.
Yeah, and we talk about balance here, Pack, and that's one of the issues. We start looking at these guys with you know, on-the-floor efficiency and on-the-floor impact with their respective teams. We're going to start looking at offensive and defensive ends of the floor. We spent some time in this program talking about Syracuse, where their struggles have been on defense. Looking at Miami, they've had some success defensively. Rebounding may be an issue for Jim Larrañaga, even as fast as tonight with the Orange visiting. That's why I think that game's interesting, is maybe who responds and handles the maybe cleaning up their business a little bit more as well. To your point about the NCAA tournament, Joe Lunardi in yesterday's bracketology only had four teams from the ACC in the NCAA tournament. The last four in included Virginia Tech. He had Clemson and Wake Forest off in the next four in, not first four out, the next four after that. And so now with Virginia Tech losing, did the ACC get one back to replace the Hokies falling off? I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, that may be, though. See, that's where you don't want to be when right. we get to March.
Right.
You don't want to be swapping teams on and off at the end.
Exactly right. That's why I keep saying how important it is, like in the month of January, to see who can get on a run. Because it's the only way this conference, this particular year, is going to put six teams, seven teams in the dance. And that may be a crazy reach to begin with, given the non-conference results. But for that to happen, Wes, you're going to have six or seven teams kind of go 13-7, 14-6 in league play. And a team like Virginia Tech that I think we all believe is an NCAA tournament team, hey, you're 0-3 in the league. I mean, at some point in time, you didn't have three straight road games. No, you got waxed at home by Wake. You lost a game at home last night to NC State that had been struggling. Those you don't get back. So you've got to figure out a way to win a bunch on the road to offset home losses. And that is difficult to do in a league where you just don't see anybody taking ownership yet other than Duke.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the voice of victory. There he is. Thank you very much. Josh Macri, everyone, is here for this week's edition of Over and Under, which was previously advertised to be true or false, a mistake by the co-host of the program.
Which Mr. was Macri. False. That turned out to be false. True and false turned out to be false. Now we go Over and Under with the voice of victory. A bit nervous with his orange going down there to beautiful South Florida tonight.
Well, first of all, let me just say, in your defense, Wes, when we were going back and forth with what the show would look like yesterday evening, initially we thought this would be true or false. But then, as can be the case, a little bit of an audible was called between 6 o'clock last night and 5 o'clock this morning. Stuff happens, so
true.
It's not your fault.
True.
But true. As we've established, this is not true or false. It is over under. And as you established, we were talking a little bit about Baby Blue a minute ago. And speaking of Baby Blue, Armando Bacot already has 9 double-doubles through 13 games this season. That's the most for a North Carolina player in almost a half century. The record for double-doubles in a season is 23, which was accomplished by Bryce Johnson. Over under 23 double-doubles this year for number 5.
Under.
Under. Yeah, under.
He's already almost halfway there.
I understand that math part, but I'm still going to go under. Wes, anything you'd like to add to that?
Look, Bryce Johnson's 23 is – remember how many games Bryce Johnson played that year? They lost in the national championship, I think, isn't that right? No, 15-16, that's the year they won it, right? Yeah, that's the year they won the national championship. So he had 23 that year. They played damn near 40 games. Look, we're lucky to get the two in a week scheduled, right, Pac? Now, if we're talking about John Henson, Sean May, Billy Cunningham, Bobby Jones, Rusty Clark, all tied at 18, now that might be within reach. Billy Cunningham, Doug Moe, Mitch Kupchak, 20? Yeah, maybe. Now, but 23? No.
Yeah, that's a big number. That's a big number.
It's a really big number.
And I do think your point, too, with COVID, I mean, knock on wood, we get all the games in. But I think 23 is a reach. I do. Under.
And just for clarification, you were right the first time, Wes. The 2015-16 season, that's when they lost to Villanova in the title game.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
All right.
They won the next year.
Correct. True. But as we know, this is not true or false.
No.
Over under 9 wins in Louisville's first 10 ACC games. Of course, they're already 3-0. And if we take a look at their schedule, not exactly a murderer's row.
Under. Under.
Going under, huh? Going under?
I am. I'm going to go under. I just think that nobody has really differentiated themselves. I know Miami's undefeated. Louisville's undefeated. I like their start. But you're talking about a dominant 9-1 start. I just think there's hiccups all over the place right now based on what I've seen through January the 4th. I'll go under.
I'm going to go over.
Wow.
Wow.
Mark
well, you know, and Josh, help me, but earlier in this show – it was, I think it was noted somewhere along the way that the ACC is better when Louisville's better, isn't it? Wasn't that said on this show?
Yeah. I said it.
True.
And that is true. Well, but that's got nothing to do with that question.
Has
Louisville, nothing to do with the question. The question
Louisville
is
better.
Wes, here, listen. The question is 9 wins in their first 10 games. It's not. Hey, is the league better than Louisville's? Those are two separate questions. Will they be 9-1 or better? And you're saying they will be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, mark yes. Mark the tape on that.
Okay. I think they're going to be the team that makes the move. I think they have shown you versatility. I think they've shown you depth, the ability to play at varying speeds. They got shot makers. I think what Luke said earlier about Matt Cross and Noah Locke should be absolutely, you know, put that in your holster because those are shot makers. I think that's the way you've got to survive in a league as volatile as this one is right now.
I agree with you 1,000,000,000% with everything you just said. But the question is, will they be 9-1 or better? And you said over.
Yeah.
I'm going to go under. Everything you said, it could be spot on, and it could be 8-2 in the league.
Yeah, and Josh showed me the list, too, and the list is gettable. That's the other thing. The list is very gettable.
I think everybody in the league is gettable other than Duke right now.
Okay, all right.
Let's look
There's
again.
The list, though. At Virginia is the only one. I mean,
well, at Florida State, too.
Well, at Florida State, but I'm a – look, I don't – right now, who do you trust? I mean, that Florida State thing is Saturday, and the Noles just shot 27% at Wake Forest. So, I mean, NC State, yeah. Pitt on the road, yeah. BC, Notre Dame, yeah, I'm in.
I like it, Wes. Strong stance. Keep them coming.
Like yeah.
Yeah.
Mark the tape.
Yeah, from the men's side to the ladies' side, obviously a huge one. Tomorrow between the Pack and the Heels. Now, it is worth noting that North Carolina has been a thorn in the side of one Elisa Kunane. Kunane, who has shot over 50% every single season at NC State, has shot, let me make sure I get this right, 35.7% in her career against the Heels. Over under 45% from the floor for Kunane tomorrow night.
Over. I'm going over.
45%. Let's see.
Big Smile gets after it tomorrow night.
Boy, this could go either way here. All right, you're pretty confident. You're pretty confident with that. Yeah, I'll go along with that. I mean, I could go either way on this one. I don't have a vibe one way or the other, so I'll agree with you on that. I know this much.
Okay.
If you got a ticket for that game, you will be thoroughly entertained because that place will be hostile. And like I said, anytime those two get together, I kidded around yesterday with Courtney Banghart, it could be cornhole, it could be flipping a coin. State North Carolina folks, man, it's just the way it's supposed to be. They just don't care for one another. And anytime there's an athletic event and they're both good, game on. And tomorrow night will be game on.
Hey, did yesterday when Courtney Banghart told us that Roy Williams called her first
so great.
Year?
So that's a great story. That was such a great story. And I loved Roy's attitude that, hey, kid, here's the deal, Courtney kid. Hey, you don't lose to these guys. I mean, the fact that coming from a Hall of Famer, like, hey, welcome to Chapel Hill. Here's something you better understand, like pronto. NC State thing's personal. And I think it's great because I know – the folks in Raleigh treat it the exact same way. They want to beat North Carolina sideways. They do. Mm-hmm. And if they get a chance to bury them, they will bury them. So this will be highly, highly entertaining tomorrow. No question.
Sidebar, to your point about State and Carolina, I was asked over the holidays, you know, about Wake Forest having success in football and NC State, you know, missing out on a chance to represent the Atlantic and Carolina beating Wake and all this. And I was asked by a couple of people, well, I know Packer calls them the Swiss, but tell you what, Wake Forest, I don't like them. I'm like, oh, so, and my response was, so you mean to tell me you don't like Wake Forest more than you don't like Carolina? Oh, I didn't say that now.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's why the Swiss are the Swiss. You know what? Even after they beat you at the end of the year, you go, that doggone Wake Forest won 11 games this year, man. Good for those guys. Yeah, I know they got us, but good for them. That Dave Clawson is doing a heck of a job. That's why they're the Swiss. They're the only team in the league that falls under that category. That's just the way it is. There's nothing wrong with it. It's cool.
Yeah. All right, Josh, go ahead.
When were you talking to Randy Savage, Wes?
God bless Randy Savage. Bless Randy Savage's heart. Yeah. The Macho Man.
Oh, yeah.
Snapple of Slim Jim. Oh, yeah. Oh, love it.
How about Pack with the impression, Josh?
Come on.
That came out of nowhere.
Randy,
yeah, there we go.
You know why that is? Because of the old Primetime the Pac-Man, Nature Boy Ric Flair would come in as be a co-host, and every now and then he'd say, Pac, I got a surprise for you. So what do you got? And he'd whistle, next thing you know, the door open up, Rowdy Piper's walking in. Like all his wrestling buddies would come in and go co-host the show. So I felt like these were all like an extended family through Nature Boy Ric Flair. So that's where all that comes from.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
All right, there you go.
All right, guys, last one for today. After yesterday's games on the men's side, 10 of the 21 contests in the ACC have been decided by 5 or less. Over under, 4 of the next 10 ball games in the ACC decided by a 5-point margin or fewer. Here is the schedule for the next 10 games, because I knew you'd ask.
All right. Let's see. No.
True.
No. True. Maybe. No. No. Maybe. Maybe. No. No. I'm also going to say true.
All right. which of you will say over or under?
Over.
Over. Oh, yeah. Over.
I'm taking over with the Macho Man. Me and the Macho Man are going over on this one.
Oh, yeah. You better understand there, West Durham. We're going to have ourselves some tight ball games. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, over.
100% clip. That should make for a fun show on Monday.
Josh, we can't stop the train now, by the way, just so you know. Train is running.
Hey, wait till I start going dusty roads on you here, the American dream. American dream, dusty roads.
All right, we got to go. Josh, job well done.
Excellent job.
On true or false, converting to over and under.
And good luck tonight to the Orange, because we like it when you're in a better mood.
Nah, no, you don't. You prefer salty mackerel.
Well, hey, well, you know,
wait,
you are you when Syracuse. I sent you on part of our group text on Saturday. We had all these bowl games going on.
Don't get me fired.
No, I'm not.
No, we're not getting you fired.
Nobody watches this show. Don't worry about it, especially executives at ESPN. When your boys lost to Virginia at home, I sent a text. I said, can you believe the Orange lost that game at home? And, man, it was like an avalanche. Like, nobody responded but Macri. And Josh was just like thunder and lightning coming through the phone. I had to put the phone down. I thought it was going to explode.
Relax. It wasn't that bad.
No. You are vintage. When Syracuse lays an egg, you are vintage. Vintage.
Hey, don't worry. I'll only recant some of these tales on the air with Brent Axe this afternoon on ESPN Syracuse, too, Mac.
There you go.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Should have had that last night doing a game.
I know. Wouldn't that have been good if I opened up the broadcast with Corey last night holding the Packer and Durham pull up a chair microphone? Would that not have been hilarious?
Yeah, missed opportunity.
People would love that. Yeah. I know. Well, a little show promotion. All right, three ball games on the schedule tonight. Pittsburgh and Louisville, they've won the last four against Pitt, 16 of 17, dating back to 2011, by the way, when they were foes in the old Big East. You got to go back to 2006 to find Louisville's last loss to Pittsburgh at home. Those are a lot of good games now since 2006. That's a lot of good basketball teams really on both sides. Louisville has a chance to go to 4-0 tonight on ESPNU. Mike Cousins and Randolph Childress have the call for you at 7 o'clock Eastern time tonight.
You know, and Pitt, boy, the game at Virginia, they let that thing get away. They had it. They had Notre Dame in all kinds of trouble. Like I said, Pitt's 0-2 in the standings. But, Wes, they could very easily be 2-0 in ACC play. So, again, you have to hold serve at home. Louisville's gotten off to a really good start.
Cuse at Miami. Miami, 7-game win streak. Four of those wins coming against Power 5. Here comes the Orange. We talked about the rebound numbers in conference play for Miami. Syracuse's defensive situation. 8 o'clock here on ACC Network tonight. What you thinking there, big fella?
I don't know. I mean, Syracuse won at Florida State. They lost at home to Virginia. That makes no sense. Syracuse really hasn't made zero sense to me. Was high on them. I still think they've got the chance to do it. You know, getting healthy is obviously going to be important, but man, defensively, they just got to get better. And you already talked about the fact that Miami was minus 11 on their rebounding charts, but yet it's standings. They're three up and zero in the loss column. Still playing at home. I think playing at home helps, but I do think Syracuse has a shot tonight. I think they bounce back from a lousy game against Virginia. Much of the chagrin of Josh Macri.
Well, I think really, really good tactical coaching tonight with Larrañaga and Boeheim. I think tonight is as much about in-game as it is anything else.
And, but you know what? That backcourt for Miami has been terrific. Not good, terrific. And when you said that to Coach Larrañaga when he was on with us last week, Wes, when you've got good guards, you've got a chance. And right now, Miami's living with that great backcourt.
Yeah. Carolina Notre Dame tonight closes shop up late. Anish Shroff and Jordan Cornette have the call on ESPN2 at 9 o'clock. Tar Heels trying to pick up three road wins. Notre Dame gets big shots from Prentice Hub at Pitt to win the other night. Here's an Irish team. Are they still a mystery? I think we find out tonight.
Simple question. Are they going to make threes tonight, Wes? If they do, I like their chances. If they don't, I don't like their chances. I mean, they can be bombs away, right? They're going to fire a ton of threes. North Carolina's on a good run. And the good news for Notre Dame, that this isn't a major bowl game. So you got a chance to win one. So that's
wow.
the deal.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Wow.
No, that's right. Really.
Wow.
That's right.
Carolina's looking for somebody maybe besides Armando Bacot or Caleb Love to give them a little scoring punch tonight. So be on the lookout for that. And by the way, if you haven't seen Blake Wesley for the Irish yet,
he's a player.
One of the really talented rookies in the ACC.
Yes,
South Bend native. You'll want to tune in at 9 o'clock tonight on ESPN2. All right, we talked about this earlier. Highlight last night from Blacksburg.
Oh, the dunk.
Ernest Ross played some big minutes last night for Kevin Keats in a critical road win at Blacksburg. Ross says, Pac picked his 14th in accounting. Watch this.
Yeah.
Here it is. Bang.
You know why they were 14th? You know why they were 14th in the counting, Wes? Because they had a zero in the win column in the league. That's all going to change tomorrow. But that dunk right there was one of about three or four really good ones last night in the league. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.